Rudy Valley.
Your time is my time.
With Flapsy Maxie Rosenbloom, Margaret Hamilton, the Wicked Witch from The Wizard of Oz, and lovely Miriam Hopkins.
There's no time like a time, and no one like you. See you in my dreams. Hold you in my dreams. Someone took you out of my arms. Still I feel the thrill of your charm. Lips that once were mine, tender eyes that shine, they will light my way tonight. I'll see you in
Mr. Valley, what are we going to do here at Miriam Hopkins' house?
Miss Hopkins has a rare book of William Shakespeare's that I'd like to buy.
Well, couldn't you get it cheaper if you bought it direct from Mr. Shakespeare?
Are you serious? You know who Shakespeare is. What one name stands out when you think of the great men of letters?
Jim Farley? Oh,
forget it. Here we are. I'll knock. Now, Maxie, before we go in, let me remind you again that Miriam Hopkins is one of the world's truly great actresses.
Yeah, I know.
She's so clever, so talented, that I think she could portray almost any character. Why, she...
Oh, hello. How do you do, Lily Valley? Will you please come in the library, please?
Oh, you can't fool me, Miss Hopkins.
Maxie, that isn't Miss Hopkins. That's her houseboy. He's from the Far East.
Oh, a Brooklyn boy.
Oh, no. Me no Brooklyn boy. I'm me Chinese boy.
What's your name?
Name? Low IQ. Mr. Lily Valley, please. When Mrs. Hopkins, she come, you tell her I go to moving picture show, huh?
Yes, I'll tell her.
Oh, me always like to go to moving picture show on a Thursday night. Flea China night. Don't move.
At least he didn't quote Confucius. Isn't this a beautiful library, Maxie?
Oh, yes. It's really conspiring.
Rudy. Hello, Maxie.
Miriam.
I'm so glad you could both come.
Thank you.
I suppose you're anxious to see my first edition of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Now, you sit right down here. I'll get it out of the bookcase for you.
I'm willing to go as high as $100 for that book if it's authentic. Maxie, can you tell a first edition from a late edition?
Sure. The late edition's got the race results.
Here you are, Rudy. Shakespeare's original Romeo and Juliet. Isn't it a beauty?
Remarkable. I can hardly believe my eyes. Just how old is it, Miriam?
Well, let's see. My great-great-great-grandfather got this book from the Oxford Library over 300 years ago.
Gee, ain't it overdue?
Look at that type, Maxie. Note how clear that printing is.
Yeah, but how do you read a book like this? There's two people talking.
Yes, Romeo's a man and Juliet's a woman. First one speaks, then the other.
Oh, I see. You mean like this. Lady by yonder, blessed moon, I swear. Oh, swear not by moon, long constant moon. What shall I swear by? Do not swear at all, or if thou wilt swear by thy... Well, that's the end of the page. Wait till I turn over.
Never mind. Shakespeare just did.
Miriam, I'm definitely interested in that book. With your permission, I'd like to take it back to the studio with me.
Oh, that's right. This is the night of your broadcast. By the way, Rudy, how are you going to get knocked out tonight?
It's remarkable how every Thursday night I get hit in the head and go into one of those fantastic dreams, isn't it? But that won't happen tonight.
Look out, boss. The bookshelf has fallen.
Ah, missed me.
Look, Rudy, I don't want anything to happen to you. I mean, I feel responsible while you're here in my house.
Look out, boss. The chandelier.
Never touch me. All right, Miriam. Let's close a quick deal on this book. How much do I owe you?
$50,000.
Shakespeare, Anne Hathaway, Romeo, Juliet.
Miss Hopkins, go to the neutral corner. Mr. Valley has lapsed into a semicolon. Corner.
Rudy,
fair hand raps at yon portal, and whose dulcet voice so sweetly beckons from yon doorway?
Tis I, Anne.
Anne Hathaway, Anne, my darling.
Oh, my poor William. Downstairs in the inn, my father and his guests are feasting. They're dining on leg of lamb, roast capon, broiled pheasant. And I felt so sorry for you. Oh, I couldn't bear to think of my beloved Shakespeare alone in this cold garret without so much as a crust of bread.
My darling.
So I brought you a crust of bread. Oh, William Shakespeare, just look at the condition of this room, for shame. What are all these papers scattered around the floor?
Ah, 'tis but another of my miserable failures, another flop. Romeo and Juliet.
Why, William, it's all in verse, hundreds of pages. How did you ever happen to compose so much verse?
I started to write a Western Union singing telegram, and it got away from me. But I have no faith in Romeo and Juliet. Surely it is destined to be a failure, even as all the rest.
But, William, what did you do with that play you wrote yesterday, The Comedy of Errors?
I sold it to the Brooklyn Dodgers. Ah, but what does all this avail me? My plays all fail. Your father is hounding me for backroom rent. I'll never get anywhere. Come, help me gather up the papers, and we'll burn them.
Oh, William Shakespeare, my darling, how can you say such things? Just look at the gems of literature on every page. You write such beautiful lines. To be or not to be, that is the question. And this one, the quality of mercy is not strange. And this one, all the world's a stage. And here's another. Who was the lady I seen you with last night?
Not so loud. Would you have the whole world know that I write scripts for Ken Murray?
The title of your new play intrigues me. What's the story about, William?
It's very simple. Romeo and Juliet. Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl, girl gets boy, girl loses boy loses girl. Everybody loses everybody.
Oh, look out the window. Some more travelers are arriving. Oh, now I'll have to go down and help Father serve them. Willie! No! Look, it's the sheriff.
But, Anne, my darling, why should the sight of the good sheriff frighten you?
Well, I didn't want to tell you, Shakespeare, but Father's been threatening to have you evicted for not paying your rent.
How can your father be so unreasonable? I'm only behind 2 years.
I'll open the window so we can hear them.
Well, is this the Boar Heads Inn?
Aye.
Does one Will Shakespeare live here?
Aye.
Is he in now?
Aye.
Who's the stable boy?
Me.
Make haste, knave. Off to the stable with the horse. And don't forget to curry him.
Curry him? He'll walk and like it. There you are, Sheriff.
Squire Hathaway, I've come to dispossess that good-for-nothing playwright, William Shakespeare.
Then, Sheriff, do your duty. Throw him out.
Yes, sir.
Then throw him back in.
What for?
I want to throw him out myself. Come, Sheriff. First, we join the merry gentlemen for some crumpets and a spot of tea, and then to your pleasant duty.
Well, there's no time to lose. The sheriff will be up here in your room forthwith. You must flee.
What to do? What to do? Wait, I have it. I shall take my play to London, to Queen Elizabeth. She's a great patron of the arts. She helps young playwrights.
Who, for instance?
Well, when Francis Bacon took his first play to the Queen, he was a nobody. And look at him now. What is Bacon today?
39 cents a pound.
I'm off for London, Anne. And when the Queen produces my play, you shall play the part of Juliet.
Oh, it will be the proudest moment of my life. But you must go now, my precious. And I'll send my trusted stable boy, Maxie Rosenbloom, as your escort.
Rosenbloom? Rosenbloom? Where have I heard that name before?
Oh, what's in a name? That which we call a Rosenbloom by any other name would smell as sweet. Oh, Maxie!
Yes, yes, Miss Hathaway.
Come, you're to go to London with Will Shakespeare and Maxie.
Yes?
Take care of him, as a mother bird takes care of her young.
Okay, come on, Willie. Peep, peep, tweet, 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 tweet.
Farewell, Anne.
Farewell, Willie. And may the good Queen Bess bestow her bounty generously upon you.
And should I come by such honor, you alone shall be Juliet.
Oh.
Eyes, look your last. Arms, take your last embrace. Until next we meet.
Last night we met
and I dream of you yet, with the wind and the rain in your hair. I held you tight as you whispered good night, with the wind and the rain in your hair. Now it will be my favorite memory, that vision of you standing there in the mist, how you sighed when we kissed, with the wind and the rain.
Good night. Parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say good night till it be morrow. This bud of love by summer's ripening breath may prove a beauteous flower when next we meet.
Now it will be my favorite memory, that vision of you standing there in the mist, how you sighed when we kissed, with the wind and the rain in your hair.
Life was a precarious business in that London town of Shakespeare's day. Frequently, great plagues swept the city, taking a terrible toll of human life. Today, plagues and epidemics are practically unknown. A great army of men in white, doctors, scientists, chemists, have conquered these scourges and made life safer for all mankind. But the price of our safety is eternal vigilance. That is why Seal Test maintains a great network of laboratories directed by leading food scientists, staffed by hundreds of Seal Test men in white. Their task is to supervise the quality of milk, ice cream, and other dairy products in thousands of local communities to assure their purity and wholesomeness. Let's listen to a scene in the Seal Test laboratory in such fine dairies as Chestnut Farms, Chevy Chase in Washington, D.C., and Detroit Creamery in Detroit.
Milk sample number 8.
Okay on Babcock test for richness.
Okay on microscope examination.
Okay on flavor test.
Okay on test for body and texture.
Bottles checked and passed for cleanliness.
And so it goes in more than 100 Seal Test laboratories. Tests and checks to assure you of pure, wholesome dairy products. These are no single laboratories working alone, but are grouping together for cooperation of the units making up the Seal Test system. And each of them draws upon all the experience and resources of all Seal Test laboratories. Don't you want this added safeguard on the milk your children drink, on the ice cream and other dairy products you serve? Then be sure to look for the red and white symbol of Seal Test Supervision. We'll tell you a little later where to buy Seal Test supervised products in your community. But now, on to London, where Shakespeare has gone to seek the aid of the good Queen Bess.
London. All out, London.
Come, Maxie. At last we're in London. Aye, but it's foggy. I can't see my hand in front of my face.
Neither can I. I got it in my pocket.
What's that ringing?
London is famous for its bell, sir. That's the Westminster chimes. That's Whitechapel. That's Big Ben.
London Daily Mail, paper, Governor. Read all about it. Sir Walter Raleigh spreads coat across mud puddle for Queen Elizabeth. He gets arrested.
Just a moment, boy. If Sir Walter Raleigh spread his coat for the Queen to walk across a puddle, why was he arrested?
How was he to know the puddle was 7 feet deep?
Come, Maxie. We must get to the palace and sell my play to Queen Elizabeth.
Okay, Mr. Shakespeare.
Buckingham Palace, State your business, please.
I'm William Shakespeare, and I've written a play for the Queen.
My dear, dear boy, if you've written a play for Queen Elizabeth, you'd better be sure to have a part in it for her favorite, Essex.
Essex? That's impossible. You know you can't get any more Essex parts.
Her Regal Majesty, Queen Elizabeth, descends the royal staircase. Queen Elizabeth enters the royal reception hall. The Queen passes the royal mirror. The Queen turns and looks in the royal mirror.
Your Majesty.
Well, who are you? What do you want? Who are you?
I'm William Shakespeare, Your Majesty. I have written a play for you, Romeo and Juliet. I've worked diligently to make this great play for you.
That's nothing new. Marlowe made great plays for me. Bacon made great plays for me. And then there was Essex. He was different.
Why?
I made a play for him. But tell me, what's your play about?
It's a story of Juliet and her love for Romeo. Your Majesty, just picture yourself in the lovely Juliet situation. The irresistible Romeo climbs your balcony, takes you in his manly arms.
Yes, go on, go on.
He tries to hold you close, but you draw away from him because you don't know life, you don't know love, you don't know romance.
You don't know me.
Hey, Mr. Shakespeare.
Maxie, can't you see I'm talking to the Queen? Be careful, Maxie. She's a shrew.
A what?
A shrew.
Is it tight?
William Shakespeare? Who is this uncouth varlet?
I crave pardon, Your Highness. This is Slapsy Maxie.
My. Punchy, isn't it?
I got this way fighting. What's your excuse? Hey, boss. Here's a script of Romeo and Juliet. I thought maybe the Queen would like to see it.
Here, Knave. Let me have it. I may condescend to portray Juliet myself. Let's see how it goes. Romeo. Wherefore art thou, Romeo? Why don't you come up and see me sometime?
Your Majesty, you're reading it too fast and too much like Mae West. Read it slower and no Mae West.
Oh, I see. No hustle, no bustle.
Well, Majesty, what do you think of the play?
It pleases me. Methinks I shall play the part of Juliet myself.
But, Your Majesty, I already have a girl to play the part of Juliet, a young actress named Anne Hathaway.
But I shall play the part of Juliet. Waste no more time. It's on the Shakespeare Productions Incorporated.
Hello, Shakespeare Productions Incorporated. If you're looking for breaks, come up and see Shakes. He's got what it takes. What? No, sorry. The role of Romeo's been filled. Metro-Goldwyn-Shakespeare, hello.
Say, I want to find out about this play, Romeo and Juliet. Who wrote it?
William Shakespeare.
Who's producing it?
William Shakespeare.
Who's acting in it?
William Shakespeare.
Oh, the copycat.
Say, who is this?
Orson Welles.
Gee, I'll bet you're jealous of Shakespeare, aren't you, Orson?
Not by the hair on my chinny chin chin. Goodbye.
Hello. Sorry, sir, the role of Romeo has been filled. What? No, Mr. Shakespeare isn't buying any insurance. How's that? No, Shakespeare doesn't need an assistant. Huh? Well, why don't you try going back to Mr. Goldwyn, Jimmy?
I say, excuse me. Did Shakespeare write Much Ado About Nothing?
Yes.
Well, Much Ado says next time write him about something.
Hello, Shakespeare Productions. What's that? You've retired, but you'd like to come back and play a bit part? Sorry, we haven't any bit parts, Seabiscuit. So long, regards to the family.
Gadzooks, what plank of fate is this?
What's the matter, Mr. Shakespeare?
The outer office is filled with men who want to be Romeo. He gad 2 million men in London, all with a single desire. Romeo. Everyone wants to play Romeo. The cop on the beat, the man in the street, the tailor, the jailer, the goblin, the thief thinks he's Romeo. Romeo, it gives me a pain in the domeo.
The pauper, the peasant, and even the queen all want to act in the balcony scene playing Romeo.
Juliet.
Old men and babies in school yet. All want their names on the big marquee. Ye gods, what fools these mortals be.
The farmer deserts and forsakes his plow, and his wife yells,
Romeo, where art thou?
Let's drop it. Drop it. Why doesn't somebody stop it? Let's put all these Romeos back on the shelf.
And what about Juliet?
I'll take care of her myself.
He'll take care of her all by himself.
When Shakespeare spoke of Juliet's beauty, he might well have used a new word we have in our language today. It's vitalure. What does it mean? Well, for the answer to that, let's take a quick trip around America. Here we go to all those communities where seal test supervised milk and ice cream are sold. Ready?
Shakespeare, Mr. Shakespeare.
What is it, Maxie?
I got a message for you. Miss Anne Hathaway is on her way here to play the part of Juliet.
Oh, Maxie, how can I tell her that the Queen is going to play Juliet?
You must be brave, Shakespeare. You must keep your chin up. You must be a Don Wilson.
Don Wilson?
Yeah, stout fella. Well, see you later.
Come in.
Will. Oh, Will, darling. At last we're together again.
Anne, dearest, it's so good to see you. Anne, there's something I must tell you.
Oh, not now. First, let me look at you. Why, Will Shakespeare, you've grown a beard.
Are you disappointed, Anne?
No. As a matter of fact, it's most becoming. I'm very happy about your beard.
It tickled the Queen, too.
Oh, bother the Queen. All I want to think about now is that we're together in London and, oh, I'm to be Juliet in your play.
Anne, my dear, I'm afraid I have an unpleasant confession to make.
Will, you don't mean... Oh, Will Shakespeare, have you been courting other women?
No.
Have you been gambling at the gaming tables?
No.
Have you been carousing at the pubs?
No.
Well, gee, you haven't had any fun at all, have you?
Oh, there you are, Willie. Here's your little Juliet.
Juliet? Oh, but I thought...
Hush, my dear. Your Majesty, may I present Anne Hathaway?
Anne Hathaway? The girl who was going to play Juliet before I stepped in?
Yes.
Well, if this isn't a pleasure, it isn't anything. And it isn't a pleasure.
Will Shakespeare, did you tell Queen Elizabeth that she could play Juliet?
I was forced to, Anne.
But my child, I've had more experience than you. I've appeared in many ancient Greek tragedies.
With the original cast, no doubt.
Just a moment. Are you by any chance implying that I, the Queen, am... Oh,
perish the thought, not I. But I must confess that around London town, folks are saying that you are a trifle on the seamy side.
You mean they're saying I have wrinkles?
Well, not exactly wrinkles, Your Majesty. All they say is that if you tied two strings to your ears, you could use your face for Venetian blind.
Anne Hathaway, this is treason.
Your Majesty.
But I like it. This little girl has spoken the truth, and I've come to a decision. Juliet calls for a girl of youth and grace, and after taking a good gander at myself in the mirror over there, I've come to the conclusion that it would be ridiculous and beneath my dignity to play Juliet.
Oh, you mean you're really giving up the part of Juliet?
Yes, sir. From now on, I'm playing Romeo.
Well, Shakespeare, now that I'm assured the role of Juliet, I have a question to ask.
Of course. What is it?
Why did you put Romeo first in the title? After all, as the old saying goes, it's ladies first. You should call the play Juliet and Romeo so that the man comes after the woman.
No, my dear. This is leap year. The woman comes after the man.
Oh.
Oh, Maxie, what a dream I had. I was William Shakespeare.
I bet I was Romeo.
Miriam Hopkins was Anne Hathaway.
I bet I was Romeo.
Miriam was also Juliet.
I bet I was Romeo.
Then there was a clumsy stable boy.
Well, I should have been Romeo.
Maxie, any man would proud to have been Romeo. What a pace that Shakespeare set with Romeo and Juliet when they appeared before the cyclorama. Each fellow has a beau, considers himself a Romeo, just like the dashing hero in the drama. Remember when she landed you and how they threw the rice? Remember how you promised her a slice of paradise?
Well, how's about that slice? Has the paradise come with the rice?
Why don't you be a Romeo again? Why don't you bring her flowers now and then? She's probably never noticed that your hair's turning gray, or even how much you weigh, or if you need a toupee. Why don't you be a Romeo again? A gal would like some loving now and then.
Though she likes fables and gowns to pack labels,
still she wouldn't trade you for a thousand Clark Gables. 10 to 1, she still has that yen. Why don't you be a Romeo again? Life isn't clover, it's not a pushover. When her work is finished, it's time to start over it.
There's room for wishes, or plans quite ambitious, with house full of kitties and sink full of dishes.
It's dusting and sweeping and endless housekeeping, pretending she's smiling when inside she's weeping.
It's hustle and bustle and hand-me-down dresses and dishpan hands and gray in her presses.
It's work, work, work with no time for pleasure.
Work, 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 then some more for good measure.
Rub for you, at a tub for you.
Why, she'd even work her fingers down to the tub for you.
So why don't you be a Romeo again? Why don't you take her stepping now and then?
As her heart reminisces, give up for some kisses. Thank your lucky stars that you can call her your missus.
10 to 1, she still has that yen. So why don't you be a Romeo again?
Mr. Valley, your bags are all packed, and Mr. Leo Carrillo was waiting outside in a station wagon.
Good. I believe I told you, Maxie, that I'm going to Leo Carrillo's ranch down in the Ramona country. Would you like to come along?
Nah, I'm a city fella.
Dolores Del Rio will be there.
I'm an old cowhand.
Until next Thursday, then, this is Rudy Valley saying, don't forget to look for the red and white seal test symbol on the milk and ice cream that you buy. Au revoir. And good night.
Steel Test Incorporated and its member companies are subsidiaries of National Dairy Products Corporation. This is the National Broadcasting Company.